Football is back, ladies and gentlemen. The BYU and Utah rivalry game, it is upon us. And, man, I could barely sleep the last couple nights leading up to this game. It's just so exciting. I feel like BYU has a legitimate chance to win this game. And just like last year, I had to bring on my good BYU friends, Dave Madsen and Jordan Smith, as we break it down. We talk about a controversial tweet that I sent last week, and we kind of talk about some areas where we think BYU needs to be good to win, and some areas on Utah's side where we're afraid of the kind of talent and athleticism that they have. So no better way to get ready for the game than to listen to this podcast, and let's go. Season 2, Episode 2, BYU and Utah, whatever. I guess it's the Holy War. Some people don't like it being called that. Some people don't. But round table with Jordan Smith and Dave Madsen as we get ready for the BYU and Utah game. Game number one, 2019. Oh, man, guys, it's here. It's crazy to think that it's here. I'm so excited for it. How are you guys feeling? Can't wait, guys. I want to start things off with this. I have never received more Twitter hatred in my life than I have received in the last 5 days. And for those of you listening who don't know what I'm talking about, last week on Cougar Sports Saturday, I named 5 areas where I think BYU has an advantage over Utah in this game. And by and large, everyone disagrees with me. So I want to get your guys' take on all 5 points. So let's start with number one. I think BYU has an advantage on the offensive coaching staff side of the ball for this game. Am I right or am I up in the night? Let's start with you, Jordan.
Well, first of all, I spent a good like 20 minutes reading those comments because I commented on that. So I've actually gotten a few things my way. But I read through a bunch of the replies to that. That's pretty funny. There's a lot of you hatred on there. This is a BYU post. There's more Utah comments than BYU. I guess they really don't care. But I'm kind of in the middle on this. I think it's kind of a coin toss. I mean, he has more experience, but I get your take where, you know, this is year two of Grimes and Roderick. There's continuity there. Where they're installing a brand new offense. It is game one, which I agree with that, but at the end of the day, he does have a lot of experience, so I'm kind of more neutral on that one. I think if you forced me to choose one side, I would agree with you, because of, you know, this is the second year, returning most of their offensive players, they're all going to be on the same page.
And look, you can only say so much on a tweet, but I hope people who listen to this who aren't BYU fans, well, first off, if they are, you guys are losers and listen to your own team's podcasts. But hey, if you're listening anyways, welcome on in. And my points are relevant to this game only and the specific timing of this game. Like, if this was game two, I don't know if I'd feel that way, but it's game one with a new offense. You just never know. I mean, I think back to some of BYU's debuts with new offensive coordinators. Yeah, they did win the first game with Ty Detmer, but that Arizona team wasn't very good. I think we can all agree that BYU is better than Arizona at this state. But it's a mixed bag, and anytime you can eliminate some of these unknowns, I think that's a good thing. And for Utah, that's an unknown. It may work out, but it may not. Dave?
Yeah, I agree. And can I just say right off the bat, and Matt, I mentioned this to you earlier, but the only thing that's more insecure as a BYU fan is a freaking Ute fan, man. Like, what a joke. Oh, my gosh. Like, you have the audacity to say that BYU has the advantage in certain areas. and these guys, these losers who are listening to Cougar Sports Saturday, not even their own, you know, youth sports show, start calling you out for that. Oh my gosh, the arrogance. My goodness.
I know. Seriously, it doesn't make sense. I feel like weekly, Dave, I have to remind people who spew hate over the text line that this is a BYU show. Mind your own business.
Seriously. I mean, I love like the trash talk that comes with the rivalry. And I love this rivalry in general. It's great. But oh my gosh. Like, the arrogance from up north for a team that has done exactly nothing of note in their history. Bunch of losers. Oh my gosh. The glorified commuter school up there. Bunch of fluff, no substance. Good grief. I mean, it's not like, this isn't like the 80s where BYU was like winning 56-6 and 70-35 every game, like true domination. This is Utah lucking into this 8-game fluky streak, and now their, you know, fans are mouthing off about it. Give me a break. Give me a break. Anyway, sorry.
Okay, so my first point, do you think that BYU or Utah has an advantage from an offensive coaching? I'm not talking head coach. I'm not talking defense. I'm specifically talking Jeff Grimes and his group of coaches versus Annie Ludwig and whoever they still have up there.
Yes, I absolutely think BYU has an advantage, particularly because of what you pointed out, Matt, because of the timing. It's the first game of the season. Yes, Annie Ludwig has been there before, but that doesn't matter with this group of guys. You haven't been there with these guys. They're installing a very new offense than they had last year under Troy Taylor. And regardless of, I think, the experience level of the team, we can look back to 2016 with Taysom Hill and Jamal Williams, the senior quarterback and the senior running back, were both very good, but who had a brand new offensive coordinator and struggled, you know, to score points out of the game. And not only that, it's the first game on the road for the U. And I just think that I think it's difficult for a first-year OC to immediately come in and on the road have a lot of success. So, yes, I think that is a definite advantage for BYU.
Yeah, all right. I agree with you guys. I mean, I'm not saying that these advantages are going to lead to a BYU win, because you can come up with a list way more than five that are advantages for Utah, but I just think it's ridiculous, and I can't stand idle when people say that BYU has no talent, or BYU's not better in any facet of the game, because that's just being, like you said earlier, Dave, it's being arrogant. It's pompous for no reason. I mean, yeah, they have a nice 8-game winning streak. They have zero Pac-12 wins. They have zero appearances in a New Year's Six Bowl, zero appearances in the college playoff, same as BYU. So they're really not much better, and the score of the games would indicate that it's a pretty evenly matched game. Jordan?
Amen.
Great. All right, let's move on. Point number two. Point number two was...
I keep going, Matt. I'm ready to go. I just... we got a long, podcast.
That's the way I like it. All right, point number two, if I remember correctly, was BYU special teams, and I'm talking specifically kicking, punting, and place kicking. It's advantage BYU, and it's not close, and nothing has changed my mind otherwise. I think Old Royd is significantly better than any kicker they have.
I mean, who is the kicker for Utah? I mean, that's probably the best case where you're saying we have no idea who they are. They've never...
Let me Google it right now, because I'm not even sure. Utah field goal kicker.
Andrew Stroud. I think he's a transfer from UCLA. And... yes, I don't think he is that good. I think he's kicked like two field goals in his career.
Someone tried to tell me last week on the KSL show, guys, that he was, quote, a diamond in the rough.
Sorry, he may be, but I don't think so. And we'll see. Again, it's on the road, hostile environment. You know, we'll see. When push comes to shove, is he going to be able to kick a 43-yarder under some serious pressure? I don't know. I mean, we'll find out. But I will say I like our kickers. I like the fact that both Oldroyd and Southam have experience in clutch situations. Southam making the game winner against Wisconsin, and then Oldroyd obviously against Arizona, and making a field goal too at Utah a few years ago. Like, these guys, they've got that mental edge that I think you want in a kicker, and that for me is what gives me confidence in our kicking game. I will say, as far as punting goes, I know that Utah's fairly high on the punter, and since I haven't seen Oldroyd punt, I mean, I think in that aspect it may be a bit of a wash just because I haven't seen these guys. All accounts are that Oldroyd he's got a heck of a leg and he can flip the field. But again, until we see it in a game, who knows? But I definitely think place kicking Beale's got the advantage.
Yeah, and when I say special teams, I'm talking from a holistic point of view here, because there's more than just field goal kicking. There's place kicking is a big deal. Ed Lamb told me a couple weeks ago that Skylar Southam is going to provide them opportunities to do things in the place kicking game in terms of hang time and placement that they haven't had in a long time. So it's like having a nice punter, and Utah may have the better punter, is great, but that's not the only facet. You know, Jordan?
Oh, right, for sure. I mean, I know BYU likes to, when they kick off, put it, you know, between the end zone and the 5-yard line, and get our team down there, you know, make some tackles before they get to that 20. And I think that Southam can do that. That's a huge advantage against Utah. Turnovers and field position have always been huge factors and reasons why we continue to lose to those losers. So, I agree wholeheartedly. We don't know anything about them. We have some experience with the guys we have at BYU, and I think that gives us an advantage.
And let's not forget, we had I believe one of the best field goal block units a year ago. And we have had, under Ed Lamb's tutelage, we've had a really, really good kickoff coverage unit. So it's like, really the only weakness that BYU's had in the last couple of years has been in the field goal kicking game. And that looks to be in good hands, and so I just expect BYU special teams to be one of the strengths of the team.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, point number three. I think that BYU has an advantage at the Matt Bushman versus whoever's guarding him position, and people laughed at me for that. And I still am bamboozled at how they think the guy opposite of Bernard can cover Bushman. And Bernard will cover Bushman from time to time, but I still like that matchup in favor of BYU.
Yeah, that's absurd that people will laugh at you about that. Like, Bushman had a huge game last year against Utah, and that was when they had, you know, Chase Hansen and Cody Barton, right?
Yep.
So, you know, to think that he's not a mismatch is just ignorant, which, you know, is kind of come to expect from you fans here. So, no real surprise, but The guy is a top talent. He's a top tight end in the country. Like, you fans, it's okay. It's okay to admit that BYU has some talent. It's okay to admit that we've got some good players. It's all right. You'll be probably a lot happier with yourself and with your lives. You can just admit that. It's okay.
Yep. Seriously.
Honestly, on Twitter, people went even further, not even saying that, like, Utah doesn't have him cover him, but that their tight end, Botteringhammer, however you pronounce his name, no disrespect, I just don't know how to pronounce your name, is like just as good or just like a notch below. Like, I could chuckle at those tweets. It's like, Bushman's not that great. Botteringhammer is, you know, he's right there. You'll be surprised. Like, oh my God.
No, we won't be surprised.
I bleed blue, but I can say the Utah defensive line is really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have an advantage over BYU at defensive line. Wow, you know, it is possible to credit the other team for something.
Yeah, Zach Moss. Matt, I know this is one of your points. I don't want to jump ahead, but I kind of tended to agree with Mitch on this one. Like, until proven otherwise, Zach Moss is the best running back in the game tomorrow.
Let me say something about that, all right? We're about to have our first argument of the day, Dave. This was point number five, that Utah's running backs, if Zach Moss is not healthy, I like BYU's running back group more than Utah's. My point stands true. I got the numbers here, guys. Do you how many – what's the most amount of yards Zach Moss has rushed for against BYU in this rivalry game? Does anyone know?
It's not that many.
Exactly. Dave. It's not that many. It's 58 to be exact, and that was in 2016. He had 12 carries for 58 yards. Utah running backs have not been the reason BYU has lost these games. They haven't been. So even if he was healthy, I have full confidence that BYU's defense can scheme and limit him. And if he's not healthy, I like BYU's running backs more. I know that everyone says Utah has talented running backs 2 through 4. I've never seen them play. I don't know who they are. Last year's Utah backup, Armon Shine, who transferred, I think that he was arguably better than any other backup on this team. He only managed 60-some-odd yards last year in the starting role. 15 carries, 60 yards. The Utah running backs, they haven't played any role in beating BYU. None whatsoever. So if he was healthy, I would easily say Utah has better running backs. But Zach Moss is not healthy. So I like BYU's group better.
And I will say this. I'm sorry, Jordan. I'll let you talk a little bit here. To your point, Matt, as the running back group as a whole, I would say I like BYU better than Utah's. Again, for the simple fact that I haven't seen Jordan Wilmore or Devontae Cole, whatever his name is. Like, I haven't really seen, those guys haven't played, if I remember right, in a game. Whereas Lupina Katoa was a solid running back for us last year, the freshman. And Soup, was a solid running back at Rice. You know, both these guys have D1 experience. And so I would say, as a group, 1 through 3, I like those guys better than Utah's, regardless of how high those guys are on Jordan Wilmore and these other guys. Until they can prove it in a game, they got to go with the experience and the proven playmaker. So,
yeah,
that's a good point, Matt.
And this
I would agree with you on that.
And of all my points, this is the one that I'm the least sure of. But just, if you take Zach Moss out of it, they've got a bunch of young, unproven guys, where BYU has guys that are older and are proven and have more game experience. So in a one-game situation, that's why I leaned BYU. If Zach Moss were healthy, we wouldn't even be talking about this. Right, Jordan?
Yeah, I agree with your tweet. It's all about health. I know that Utah's playing it off, but I mean, didn't he show up to practice with like a cast on or something? I mean,
yeah.
100%. He might be 90, but you know what I mean? We don't know.
Breaking news. He's not going to be 90. Dude broke his hand a couple of weeks ago. All right. I know a broken hand isn't a season ending injury, but like, come on. Those things don't just heal in 2.5 weeks.
All right. I agree with the tweet. And yeah, again, that's just ridiculous, but yeah, the people can't, there's no context to just being, yeah, Utah's better in every position, everything in life, and you're a loser, and since you never played football, you don't know anything, so.
That was my favorite. Hang it up, man. You don't know a thing. Oh, yeah, right. This little block. You know, I actually kind of felt akin and like a sort of relationship with Kirk Herbstreit. Do you ever see Kirk on Twitter just go off on people and block them? That's kind of how I've felt these last couple of days. I'm just going to rip people and then block them.
speaking of Kirk Herbstreit, just real quick, man, then we can talk about your last point. Sorry, I took this out of order as far as your points and the BYU's got advantage. But I liked what Kirk Herbstreit said in the Miami and Florida game this past week, where he mentioned something about kind of off-season and all that stuff and how, you know, everyone can be hyped and everyone's going to be talking about these high expectations and things coming into the year. But a coach doesn't really know what team he's got until they're out on the field playing the game. And that's why I'm excited. Like, I'm excited to see tomorrow. It's just, I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, you know, you're hearing good things out of fall camp. But obviously, until they're actually out playing the game, we don't know how good either of these teams are going to be.
Totally. Absolutely. I will say this. We don't know, because Utah's never been in this position. We don't know how they're going to respond. And I don't mean that positively or negatively. It's just, you know, when we were getting ready to do the show last week, Mitch posted a tweet about Lee Corso picking Utah to go to the college football playoff and beating Clemson in the first round. And lo and behold, dozens of Utah football players liked the tweet. So I know that we want to say, oh, they don't care, they haven't earned anything, they say all the right things. Well, social media doesn't lie. You know what I mean? And these dudes are eating it up. And is that an advantage or a disadvantage? We'll know a lot more pretty soon. But it's not always easy to handle the positive pressure. And so Kyle Whittingham has made a living out of being undervalued and disrespected. Let's see how he does with this. And he might do great. And if he does, you know, credit to them. And we'll have the age-old Utah's good and blah, 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 you know. But we just don't know.
And I love that they're getting all that hype and then we get to play them the first. I mean, that's – Kalani can use that. Like, these guys are picked to do this. Let's go show them what we're made of. You know what I mean? It's not just kind of a Utah game. It's like – Kalani doesn't have to downplay Utah. He can just kind of use that hype to motivate them to play harder and, you know, go show them what we're made of. You know what I'm saying? I like the mental part of that, too. I don't believe the hype. Maybe I'm just blue goggle
hater
fan, but I don't understand how you can lose, 80% of your offensive line, most of your linebackers, and be picked to go to the college playoff when you were. I mean, you were pretty good last year, but nothing special.
Yeah.
And you lose the core positions, and all of a sudden you're going to be markedly better. You're going to beat Clemson, who just routed Alabama. I mean, Lee Corso was old. We can't take him seriously anyway, but still, a lot of people think that I go to the playoff.
Come on, Jordan. You're a hater. Utah's plug and play, man.
Someone needs to explain to me how I feel like offensive line is pretty dang important. Again, I didn't play college, so you fans don't hate on me or whatever. But
hang them up, Jordan.
I'm pretty sure that offensive line is important to football. And when you replace the majority of your offensive line, usually that next year you're not top 14 in the nation. But, you know, what do I know?
And I would also add, we just don't know what Tyler Huntley is capable of in terms of a full season. He hasn't been healthy, and when he has played, the dude is 12-7 as a starting quarterback. So it's not like some guy is returning from injury that has Heisman aspirations. I mean, this guy has been very hot and cold. I know a lot of Ute fans like to point to the month of October last year. You know, he had 4 games where we were killing it and he got hurt. Yeah, that might be him. But the full body of work shows that Tyler Huntley is still a question mark, and I need to see a lot more than what I've seen from him to say, oh yeah, this guy's capable of taking them to the college football playoff. I just don't see it from him.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, just gotta go out there and prove it. And the thing for Utah is all the expectations and hype is there. They're expected to do well. The schedule lines up really well for them, which I think is where the majority of the hype is coming from. Is that they have a very favorable schedule, and so they're expected to win the South and therefore compete for the Pac-12 championship. But yeah, I agree with you, Matt. I mean, until they can prove otherwise, I just don't see it. I don't know how you go from a 5-loss team last year to making the playoffs and the title, but that's what college football, I guess, is all about. So we'll see. Can I just say real quick? Because Jordan, I think, brought up Kalani and kind of giving respect to Utah. Man, Kalani is awesome, man. Like, just watching his interviews the last few days, I think if anyone can bring some respectability and respect back into this rivalry and, like, tone down the vitriol and the hatred, it's going to come from Kalani, because he was giving props to Utah.
It's a lost cause.
He was asked,
it's a lost cause, Dave. Kyle Whittingham is never going to give BYU the respect they deserve.
I absolutely agree with you, but I think it's classy of Kalani. He said in an interview, someone asked him about Zach Moss and Britton Covey, and he said, yeah, he gave them both a lot of props, because he said something like, you know, we want those guys to play. I mean, the game is just better when those guys are on the field, you know? And I was like, man, like, what a good guy. Like, giving props to opposing players, to your rivals' players. And one other thing, though, Matt, I thought was interesting to your point about Kyle Whittingham. I thought it was funny when you and Mitch were interviewing Kalani, and you guys asked him about the rivalry. I don't know if this was intentional or not, but I thought it was very telling, and maybe I missed something, that he mentioned his relationship with Ronnie Mack. Like, he didn't mention anything about Kyle Whittingham, even though he'd been there, you know, under Kyle Whittingham's tutelage for a while. But he talked about the relationship with Ronnie Mack and Lavelle, and just how, you know, how those guys respected, you know, each other and respected the game, and how, you know, he appreciated that about the rivalry. Didn't mention anything about Kyle, and I think it's because you're right. Like, Kyle Whittingham is a complete douchebag.
Yeah, it's just... I do respect that side of Kalani. That dude loves his players. He loves the opposing players. I mean, that guy is a genuine dude. I just wish he took a more defensive approach against the lack of respect, you know? There's nothing wrong with saying, I had a good time, you know, up in Salt Lake City. You know, nothing but respect for those guys. But hey, you know what? We don't like him. We're going to beat him. You know, my time there is over. And, you know, I don't know, something to that effect, but he just showers them with love and praise. And as a BYU fan, it's like, dude, those days are over. And we're not getting the respect we deserve to be treating him that way, you know? We don't have to be rude, but we don't have to go out of our way to give him adoration. Jordan?
I agree, but I kind of like just kind of buttering him up and not giving him bullet board material. I don't know, if we haven't won in a long time, guys. We have to always remind ourselves of that. It's been a long time, but I kind of like, until we beat them, just kind of doing it. I don't know, I'm not really making sense, I guess, but
I don't give a rip, Jordan. I don't care that we haven't won forever.
Material, all right? That's kind of in this podcast. I'm treading lightly. I'm trying to not jinx this for tomorrow. I want this.
No, jinx. Trash talk them. It doesn't matter. I don't care if they won 100 in a row over us. You suck. They will forever be the little brother, okay? I don't give a rip if they cream us by 80 tomorrow. Do not shy away from trash talking those guys.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's shift.
Side note, real quick.
Okay.
Real quick. As a disclaimer for our listeners, I did attend the University of Utah.
Oh, my.
I got a degree from there. And I will say, it's a wonderful institution.
Great program. Stop it right there. I don't want to hear any more.
Really quick, I
have a funny story.
You still suck. That will never change. It doesn't matter how many times we lose. There's nothing special about the U. They're just a bunch of fluff. They're a bunch of insecure losers, just like their coach.
Oh, jeez.
I'm holding you, Kyle Whittingham, accountable. You sorry sack of garbage. How dare you continue this vitriol and this hatred that comes down from Utah. You're an alum of BYU. Have a little respect. BYU put you on the map. You wouldn't be where you were or where you are if it weren't for BYU and if it weren't for Lavelle Edwards. So maybe take a minute, remember that,
class and humility. Oh, jeez. Oh, man. I do not endorse that message publicly. Privately, we can have another conversation, Dave. All right, Jordan, what is your what's your story, Jordan?
I was just going to say, my youngest son, who just turned one, he was born at the University of Utah Hospital, and they did a great job. They tried to put a U hat on him, a little beanie. That was not going to happen.
Thank you. Screw those guys.
Let's go.
Oh, jeez. Okay, whoa. Things are getting wild. Speaking of the game, I'll go first. I want to hear your kind of like key statistic. What needs to sway in BYU's favor in order for BYU to win? For me, I think after looking at some of the recent box scores, I think if BYU cannot find a way to get a running back to gain 75 yards, it's going to be hard for BYU to win. It has been a long, long time since BYU has had an effective running back do anything against Utah. And even with Jamal Williams, I mean, I think it was in 2016 that was, he had a decent game, 12 carries for 58 yards, but we haven't really had a credible threat on the ground. And I think if we want to make things easier on Zach and like even a key to victory, we need a running back to have 75 yards carrying. And as a team, we got to be over 150. So to me, establishing a ground game is absolutely imperative against this Utah defense. Jordan, what do you think?
Oh, I mean, there's so many. Typically in football, there's turnovers, field position. I think I'm going to go with third down conversion. I think we got a, I don't have an exact number for you because you're putting me on the spot, but I just think we need to convert third down, keep the ball, keep drives alive. We have good field goal kickers. I'm okay with 3 points, you know, every once in a while. But we can't, it can't be three down punt, keeping our defense on the field. They have a lot of speed on offense. And especially with the new offense, we don't want them having long drives or multiple opportunities to get, you know, get some rhythm and figure out this new offense. So I want to keep our defense off the field, convert on third down.
Dave?
I think for me, the biggest key is turnovers and winning the turnover battle. It just feels like over the last 8 games against Utah, with the exception of 2016, the one time I think BYU did actually win the turnover margin.
By a lot, too.
It seems like by a lot, yeah. Making that game all the more frustrating, right? And hats off to Utah's defense again in that game. But again, highlights the struggles of a brand new OC and the difficulties of changing from a spread offense to a pro style offense. But anyway, turnovers. I think that's huge. It seems like every game in the last year, that pick six, even though BYU went and scored afterwards, it was kind of that pick six that it seemed like gave Utah the shot in the arm where they're like, okay, we can still win this thing. And BYU just, that's another thing too, scoring off of the turnovers that we do get. I mean, Utah, it seems like, has a pick six or a fumble return for six in a lot of these games. I mean, I think they've had a defensive touchdown in like 5 or 6.
No, it's more. It's I believe it's 7 of 8.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Like, that's insane. And I know Greg Rebell had a stat. I think BYU, when they have a defensive touchdown in a game, their winning percentage is like 90%. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. If your defense can score, it's such a huge, you know, momentum boost for your team. So I think if BYU can limit their turnovers, and if they can force a few from Utah, I think that's going to be huge and be able to get in the win.
And I would also add a close second for me is, it's okay if Utah moves the ball up and down the field. They got to be good situationally, you know, getting off on third and longs and holding them to field goals, because field goals are going to be adventure for these guys. So that's okay if they move down into the 30-yard line, but that's when we got to stand tough and force field goals. And so, oh, man, it's one of those things where I actually – what?
Sorry, I just going to say, which that was like the 2017 game, right? Like Utah, I mean, Huntley had a really good game against us from a stats standpoint. I mean, he had like 300 yards passing that game. I think he had, I don't know if he had 100 yards rushing, but he had like a ton of rushing yards that game.
Yep.
But they only scored, what was it, 19 points? Because they couldn't score in the red zone. They had to settle for a ton of field goals, which gave BYU somehow, with how absolutely terrible that BYU team was, they still somehow had the ball in their hands with a chance to win there in the fourth quarter. I would agree with you, Matt. I mean, I think that's key.
What's something that worries you for this game, Jordan?
I think Huntley being comfortable and getting their speed guys in space. We don't need like a speed rusher to go in and take him out. I think with guys like Huntley, you kind of want to
contain,
keep him in the pocket and like close in on him, you know, and take him down. But I don't, it's either that, they get these guys in space. And that's what the fourth quarter was. They picked on Cradle's brother and just, he had plenty of time and they just got him open in space and they made plays with Shelley, I should say, the quarterback. But again, I don't know that we need tons of stats, but we just need the quarterback to be uncomfortable and not have a clean pocket. And our DBs have got to play out of their minds, I think. And that, but that would make me nervous is if he has time and they get Covey and these other guys in space or they're just getting chunks of yards with their athleticism.
I actually feel okay about BYU's speed on the perimeter. I think BYU's linebackers are pretty fast. I could see a situation, guys, where BYU moves Isaiah Kafusi to middle linebacker for a lot of this game, and they play Chaz IU, and they just have super athletic outside linebackers to cover people in the flats and out of the backfield. And then with Dion and D'Angelo Mandel on the outsides, I'm not too concerned about Utah getting into the open field and getting speed. I think BYU's speed defensively has been as good as it's ever been. I'm not even that worried about Utah's offense. My big thing is, can BYU find a way to score points? And I don't care how they come. If we get stifled inside the 30, but we're cashing in field goals, I'm feeling good. There's just been too many times in the past where BYU gets past the 50, and you feel like, oh man, we need another 25 yards before we can even attempt a field goal that we don't even know if we're going to make. And if BYU can get to the 32, 33-yard line, I feel like we have a great chance at 3 points. That goes a long way. So my biggest concern is, are we going to be able to come back to my other point, run the football and establish drives to get points? And I don't care how the points come. We just need points. We need to be scoring on half or more of our possessions, even if it's field goals.
On my I think fears about the game, I guess, or the things that worry me. So the first is kind of to Jordan's point. Can we get pressure on Huntley? Because I don't think Huntley is a great passer, but he's good. And like Jordan said, I mean, you give any quarterback at that level enough time, like they're gonna pick you apart. And so will we be able to get a pass rush against, as Bill Riley says, a talented, super talented, but a very inexperienced offensive line from Utah? And I'll be honest, I don't think their offensive line was really that great last year. I mean, I think they were above average, but I don't think they were great by any means. And so I actually think that's a big weakness for Utah. I don't think it's been talked about enough. And maybe not. Maybe these guys are, like, they'll just gel and everything's going to be great. But again, I know I brought this up before. I mean, the last time that we played a super, you know, like expectations through the roof type team that had a lot of question marks on the offensive line was Oklahoma back in 2009. And that offensive line was, they struggled in that first game. And so I really think BYU can have an advantage there. But that's my question. Can we pressure Huntley and force him into some bad decisions or some bad throws? And then it's on the flip side, can we hold our own against that defensive line? I mean, that D-line, they got a lot of kudos for a reason. I mean, they are legit. They are real good.
Yep.
I like our offensive line, I think, and they look, our offensive line looks the part too. And I think that they held their own last year against that D-line. And I think and I hope that with another year under their belt, they can even take it a step further and win some serious battles that will open up some holes for us in the running game to get us a running back that, to your point, Matt, gets that 75 yards. I think Tyquan Williams has the talent to do it. I'm just wondering if our O-line can hold up against that D-line.
Yeah, and we don't even need our offensive line to be better than Utah's defensive line. It just can't be the mismatch that it's been for the majority of this winning streak. Any thoughts, Jordan?
I just want to watch this game.
Oh, man, it's...
I just keep thinking back to last year. I mean, our offense is going to be better based off of how get them for, you know, 3.5 quarters. But I feel like our offense should be a little bit better this year. And their defense should not be better. Maybe it'll be neutral compared to last year. But I can't imagine they're going to be a ton better there. On defense, I'm a little worried about linebacker. So I feel like Kyrus Tonga is just going to have to take Zach Moss out. You know what I mean? That's just, he's got to eat up the middle and then let those linebackers go in and get the scraps. But I feel pretty good, man. This is, I don't have any, there's no position at BYU. I look at the two deep depth chart and I can't say one position or one player. I'm like, oh man, who is this guy? Or man, this guy, I'm really worried about this. You know what I mean? I feel good about every position.
There is one position group I'm worried about, Jordan. Wide receiver. I don't know.
I'm not.
You're not? Sell me.
No. Romney, I think he's going to be awesome.
He's not even the starter.
That's fine. He'll come off the bench and torch some people. I mean, he's good.
Okay.
I mean, I know he's technically a tight end, but I feel like he's kind of that hybrid where I more think of him as a receiver.
I
like Kifo and the role that they have him.
Yeah. My expectations for Moroni are slim to none for this game. I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't know how much we're going to see of him. He hasn't practiced much.
I feel like they're hiding that for some reason. Maybe I'm wrong.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
I feel like they're just, they know he's a big part of their offense, and so they're just kind of downplaying it. Again, I'm not saying that I am, like, super stoked about the receivers, but there's not one of those guys that I'm like, oh, man, he sucks. Or I feel good about every position on the field. And I'm not saying they're all-stars. They're not all, you know, NFL guys, but I feel comfortable with that 2D.
We need...
It's not somewhere...
What?
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think I saw somewhere, doesn't he already have like 17 starters returning? Like, that's insane. I feel like people aren't talking about that as much, but like one of the benefits from last year, I don't think we were phenomenal last season, but you know, we were a few plays away from having a really nice season, and we were a young team, and to return all that experience, I think is going to be huge. And so I'm kind of with Jordan. I think looking at our two deep, we got not only talented guys, but I think we got experienced guys kind of across the board. And so I'm just excited to see if that translates, you know, to the field. And I guess we're going to find out in less than 24 hours.
Yeah, I'm just, man, the wide receivers, there's just so many question marks. I'm just wondering if they'll ever get open. I feel like they need someone who's a little unknown to maybe have a breakout game, whether that's a Micah Simon. And kind of a surprise to see him as a co-starter at that position. I mean, if he can deliver, that would be a huge boost. Or maybe even a Dax Milne. Or the real wild card, because he's going to play a little, is Keanu Hill. The dude occupies a role in that wide receiver group that no other wide receiver has, the combination of the speed and the size. Maybe this is an opportunity for someone like him to show up and go fly under the radar and make some plays, but they need someone other than Hefo and Shumway to become a reliable target to the tune of 4 or 5 receptions for 60 yards.
Wait, so you're concerned about our wide receivers, and yet you just made our two starting wide receivers as reliable? I'm kind of confused why you're concerned about that.
Oh my gosh, Dave.
Here we go.
They are reliable, but they can also be shut down, and they have many times. And so if Utah's able to take that away, and Utah has a good defense, they're going to take stuff away. We need secondary people to step up.
Where I agree with you mostly, but where I kind of falter from what you're saying is I think with a quarterback like Zach Wilson, receivers like that are going to get open because he's going to buy more time. I don't think that they were talented enough or fast enough or ran crisp enough routes with Tanner Mangum. probably, I mean, he was a great passer, but the timing was never there because it couldn't get open, where Zach can move around a little bit, create a little bit more than, or a lot more than Tanner, obviously. And then I think those guys, there's a better chance for those guys to get open. They're not Jerry Rice with these, like, perfect routes that where a route can get you open. But Zach can kind of create some time for them, and the defense is all going to be focused on Zach. If he moves out of the pocket with that threat to run, I think receivers are going to be left open because they, I don't know, I felt like after that game in November, there was a lot of respect for Zach, and I feel like they're going to really key in on him and not want him to run.
One other thing that gets me excited about the game tomorrow is listening to Coordinator's Corner, first one this last week with Greg Rebell, and all three coordinators on with him, and they're all great, but Jeff Grimes, man, like, first, I'm a Grimes believer. I think he's awesome. I also think he's the type of coach that doesn't just blow sunshine up your butt. Like, he'll tell you like it is. And you know, when I think Greg asked him about, you know, reviewing the film from last year's Utah game and kind of his thoughts on it, like, the very first thing he said was just how much better that our team is on offense now compared to that team. And just the decision-making of Zach, I mean, he highlighted Zach in particular, just how good he looks, how quick he's been with his decision-making, he's making all the throws, and just, you know, how much improved, he says, that we, you know, that we look on offense. He did say, now, of course, you know, Utah's saying the same thing about their defense, and so, you know, we'll see how it plays out on the field, but I just thought it was telling that he said that. A guy who I feel like is a straight shooter and isn't going to just, you know, spout that kind of stuff without there actually being some, you know, some substance to it.
Jeff Grimes, for me, guys, I need to see the explosive plays mentality translate into the game, and then I will get on board with you guys, but I'm not ready to do it.
Not ready to do it. You just said on Cougar Sports Saturday that there's a 97% chance we'd have, like, a play go over 50 yards.
There's still a 3% chance it doesn't, then I'm going to be mad.
Oh, my gosh. You are unbelievable, Matt.
I have a question, though. I haven't been able to go to any scrimmages, and obviously you've been there a lot. On Twitter and interviews, it seems like they are looking for more of those plays. Matt, have you seen any evidence of that in the scrimmages or the practices that you've been able to look at?
I haven't been to any scrimmages, Jordan. Those were closed, but in the little of practice that I did see, there were evidence of those. I think there were two or three long plays that were completed by Joe Critchlow. We saw the media. We saw very little of Zach Wilson in the number ones, but Critchlow was airing it out when I saw it. So, you know, the evidence is they mean business in terms of being more explosive, but I need to see that in the game, even if that results in a turnover or two. I don't, you know, what I'm really curious to see, guys, is if they do take a shot and it gets picked off, are they going to go conservative, or are they going to continue with the game plan? That's what I'm most interested in. And I hope it doesn't come to that, but we need to stay aggressive throughout, because if we become predictable like we did in that fourth quarter, granted, I know a lot of that had to do with injuries, but if we become predictable, Utah's going to shut us down.
Yeah, I agree. One question I guess I have for you guys as well. I think part of the reason why let's be honest. This is me. Like, I am always wearing the blue goggles. Until BYU loses that first game, I'm going to say 14-0 national chance for BYU. But I'm really excited and kind of curious and excited about the season. I think because the practices and scrimmages have in large part been closed to the public. And just for you guys, like, it feels like this is different than other years. I mean, I remember going in that with you back in 2017 to the blue and white game, or whatever it was in fall, and leaving there thinking, oh my, like, hopefully that like, I think we were just saying, oh, yeah, that was just a bad day. Like, we'll be all right. And then, like, obviously, we know how 2017 turned out. But it seems like this is the first year where BYU's been this close with their practices. Has that made you guys more excited, nervous? I mean, what are you guys feeling about it?
Nervous. Jordan?
That has been so positive. And it gets on this podcast with us, and I'm just rolling it more and more negative.
I'm afraid. The past.
Don't be afraid, Matt.
Your thoughts, Jordan?
Hope springs eternal. Remember the bowl game. Remember the bowl game.
Oh my gosh. All right.
Hey, the last time we saw BYU in Utah, BYU looked great against Western Michigan, and Utah got trounced by Northwestern. So take that for what's worth.
Dave, are you going to the game?
Yes, sir. You know it.
We'll have to meet up at halftime again. Yes. On the new, absolutely, new and improved corner concourse.
That sounds good to me, man. I'm down.
All right.
Are you going to be there, Jordan? Oh, yeah. Season ticket this year, guys. Let's go.
We had him last year, too, Jordan.
What?
Didn't you have a season ticket with me last year, too, or no?
No, I just bought a couple of them along the way.
Because I was...
I couldn't go or didn't want to go.
It was more didn't want to go, actually, but... All right, let's end on this. Final thoughts in terms of a prediction. What do you think happens?
Jordan, you can go first, man.
All right. I think it's going to be an ugly first quarter. I think the defenses, both defenses will play pretty well in the first quarter. Pretty low scoring. The offenses will slowly kind of get in a rhythm. And I think it'll be an exciting fourth quarter because it always is. And I'm going to take BYU 27. Utah 24.
Jake Oldroyd with a game-winning kick or a defensive stand?
I like the defensive stand.
Very interesting. Dave?
I am going to say, I don't know why. I'm kind of feeling about the game tomorrow. It probably means we're going to get blown out, but I don't know. I just feel like I think our guys are ready. And I actually think they may have a fast start to the game. I'm hoping that they do. I'm feeling like, for whatever reason, I'm feeling good about this team. I'm feeling like we can contain the Utes. I think the Utes are reading their press clippings, thinking how awesome that they are. I think, to your point, Matt, and we've talked about this before, I don't think Kyle Whittingham is good at coaching his team in this type of position. It seems like his teams usually struggle if something is on the line, or if, you know, there's high expectations for them. And I think BYU brings a dose of reality to the Utes and ends up winning 31-17.
Wow.
Touchdown run.
Holy smokes.
I'm charged. I'm going for it.
Wow.
And I'm not on Twitter. I mean, I am on Twitter, so, like, you know, I guess you fans can light me up. I don't even know what my Twitter handle is, though.
social media.
Don't worry, Matt will freak out. There we go. Sounds good. And Matt, real quick, before we get to you to close it out, let me just say, I had some harsh words earlier for Kyle and for the U. It's all good fun. I still hate the U. And Kyle, I don't
the
know
worst apology of all time.
Kyle, I don't know you personally. I'm sure you're a great guy, but the things that I have seen from you, I will say I am disappointed as a fellow BYU alum. I do not feel like you're, you know, dignifying your former school with any kind of grace or class. But you sure are repping the U well.
Wow.
So you're
Thank
in a
you.
Good spot.
Thank you, Dave. My final score prediction. And I hate doing final score predictions because I have no touch of reality here. But I'm going to go 31. I'm going to go 31-20 BYU. I think that I think that BYU is a good team, and if a few things go their way, that can be the outcome. The big question marks, and we've already discussed them, can they eliminate the deadly turnovers? Can they cash in points when they have opportunities? Well, that remains to be seen, but there's a lot that I like, just a bunch of little things that point towards BYU. So I think BYU ends the streak, and I actually don't think it's going to come down to the final possession. I think BYU will have it, not in hand late, but there might be a possession where Utah needs to score and get the ball back, and then they don't, and that's probably the end. So that's my prediction.
I like it. Honestly, if we win more than like 3 points, I'm storming the field and I'm sleeping there. I've been staying in my chair.
Jordan, I'll do it with you. If we win the game, we will be the last fans out of Lavelle Edwards Stadium. We will dissect every positive play into the wee hours in the morning. We might go, hey, maybe we'll go Instagram live just from 1 a.m. till 4 a.m.
And then I'll just go straight to work. I don't even care.
No, hey, Jordan. Before we go, final thing. Will you please make a plea to Dave to rush the field if BYU wins?
Dave, you cannot do these rants hating on Utah, then just quietly sit in your seat in the golf class. You got to get your butt down that hill and celebrate with the rest of us.
Jordan, you don't understand. I'm all spark and no bite, man. I don't back up any of this talking.
I'm not saying I'm just talking about the rest of you play. We're going to go celebrate with our people, all right? I'm not going to...
That's fair. Well, my wife's gonna be there. She's definitely the more mature one.
Bring her down.
For some reason, I will do my best to bring her down. I cannot guarantee that I will be able to rush the field.
No. Yes, you can. What you can do is, if she doesn't want to do it, she goes home with other people, and we'll take you home at the end.
Wow. I'll come help you drag you down.
As much as I would love a win over Utah, man, my marriage takes priority.
I'll have a word with your wife to make sure that it's okayed.
That's fair. That's a deal, man.
All right, guys. Good.
In that case, I'll meet you guys down there.
Good discussion, and I'll see you guys soon. And go Cougs.
Go Cougs. Go Cougs.
All right, see you guys.